Blog Talk Radio. Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Come on, sing.
Tuning into this broadcast, but here today that what God has for you concerning our topic today. And this topic we have, which is the effects of marital problems, has been something that we have been talking about in the past few weeks about marital problems. I don't know what you may be going through. I don't know what person that you know that are going through marital problems, but why don't you just call them? And why don't you just let them know that the Crossroad broadcast is on the air and that maybe, I'm quite sure, that some of the information that's been given today by a professional Christian counselor will be able to help them and assist them and aid them in enduring in this marriage relationship. But first of all, let's go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you, dear God, for the great and for the mighty things that you have done. We thank you, God, for the great and the mighty things that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, dear God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Thy word, that we hid in our heart, that we would not sin against thee. Father, we ask thee today, God, look upon the people. Lord, ask thee, Father God, to give them what they need this day and this hour, realizing, God, that your word tells us that you will supply all of our needs according to your riches in Christ Jesus. Your word say, ask and it shall be given. Father, we have faith to believe you. God, help those, God, that need faith to believe you, to know no matter what they are going through on today, or what they went through yesterday, or what they went through some years ago, God, that you're able to bring them out with a strong hand and a stretched out arm. Lord, even as the couples and those that are getting ready to get married, Father, I ask you, God, to look upon them. Oh, Father, I ask you, God, to move on their behalf. Give them the information today. Cause the anointing, God, to overflow. Lord, cause them, Father God, to know that there is an answer to every question and every problem that they have. Father, we just thank you and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Again, you're listening to the Crossroad broadcast with Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and we have for you today, our speaker for the day is Dr. Gloria Castor. Dr. Castor is a licensed Christian counselor. She is a woman of God that is ordained minister of the gospel. She has been used and being used to preach the underrated gospel to different places as their guest speaker. Dr. Castor is going to talk to you today about the effects of marital problems, the effects of marital problems. So I want you to get ready. Why don't you get your pen and pencil? I just want to get you a comfortable chair so that you can hear what Dr. Gloria Castor has for you today. Again, don't forget, we're talking about the effects of marital problems. If you know someone that are going through difficult times, you know someone, maybe it's you, maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's a friend, why don't you call them so that they too can be blessed? We would like at this time to welcome Dr. Gloria Castor to the Crossroad broadcast. Dr. Castor. While we're waiting on Dr. Castor, we want you to know that there is, as we said before, that there is nothing too hard for God to do, and that he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. So keep that in mind as Dr. Castor comes before you today and speak to you about marital problems. She's going to speak to you about the effects of marital problems. Dr. Gloria Astor.
Good evening, Dr. McCoy, and all of the radio audience. And I am truly thankful and grateful that I have the opportunity to come to you today on speaking on the effects of marital problems. I really want to go to the biblical of God, how God set up the marriage himself, and then I'll go to the effects of marital problems. We know that the first institution that was set up was God himself, and he set up family himself. He put together the first marriage. As we go to Genesis 2 and 18, it says, and the Lord said, this is what he was saying to Adam. He said, and the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone, and I will make him a helper comparable to him. And then when we go over here, we see that God said, so when the woman saw that, first of all, he created and put Adam to sleep and created the woman out of the rib of a man. And it says that when God said, let men and woman come together, it says, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. So that was the first marriage that was put together, was God himself. Even in that marriage, there were some problems. But when we look at the biblical way of the Bible, there were quite a few marriages, and in those marriages, they were problems. And I want to just mention a few problems, because the scripture defines that marriage as a faithful, long life covenant between a man and a woman. And then it also gives us some examples of family types that were mentioned in the Bible. So I just want to mention quickly on maybe eight family types that were mentioned in the Bible very quickly. And then we talk about man and woman, which is considered the nuclear family, which I just talked about, Genesis 2:24, and it's talking about how wives subordination to their husband, interfaith marriages, forbidden marriages, and generally arranged, not based on romantic love. Brides who could not prove her virginity was stoned to death. That's one marriage. And then you had man, wives, and concubines. And we know that Abraham had two concubines. And we know that they were different ones that had more than one wife. We know that in that, we go down and look at Solomon, he had 300. And then we see man, woman, woman's property, and so forth and so on. And then we see man, woman, and woman, which is polygamy. And then we had man, brothers, widows, where it says a widow who had not born required a marriage, had not had any children, required to marry her brother-in-law and must submit sexually to her. Then we had the rapist and his victims, and then we had male soldiers and so forth and so on, and then we had male slaves and family slaves. But there are all different type of marriage types. However, when we come down to the 21st century, we know that some of those things kind of trailed off into us, because we know that there's nothing new. And we know that. But when we look at bookstores and library shelves, they're filled with books describing the experience of once happy marriages that grew cold, distant, and unhappy. Even as they tell their own stories, the author of these books show how difficult it can be to separate the effects of marital distress from the cause. For example, they're saying that sexual and financial difficulties can cause marital tension, but marital tension can be led to problems in the bed or imbalance in the checkbook. But when we go back and we really hold on to the vows that we made when we got married, it said in sickness and in health, for better or for worse, for richer or for poor. But do we really hold on to those vows? Do we really, when the time gets hard, when finances get hard, when one gets sick, do we really stand by what we really said at the altar? Well, let me say, although there is a circular relationship between cause and effects, the counselor can observe 7 specific effects of marital tension. So for the little bit of time that I have, I'm going to try to touch on all 4. If not, I'll touch on as many as I can. And the first one is confusion, despair, and hopelessness. And one can get caught in the middle of conflict, watching one's marriage disintegrate. The husband, wife, and wife or wife often feels overwhelmed and confused about what to do next. And many times when we come to that state and things begin to get, what do we really do? We turn to a friend or we turn to someone else instead of turning to God, because it did say what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. So instead of going to someone else in a marriage, a Christian counselor will give you the biblical side of how you need to do it. So you need to go to someone who's going to give you the way that God would do it, instead of going to another friend or someone who would not have the biblical side to tell you, because it's all about God and it's all about Him amending it and putting it back together for you. Every marriage is built on hope. And suggest one Christian marriage counselor. People marry because they hope that life together will be more effective, satisfying, and purposely than life alone. And we know when we go back to the book of Genesis that God said it is not good for man to be alone. So He did mean for there to be couples. Nearly every marriage goes through periods of disillusionment. When this happens, hope is often replaced by sadness, hurt, and anger. And the partner feels hopeless. And hopeless feelings are contagious. One goal of counseling, therefore, must be the recovery of hope. And then we look at withdrawal. It's impossible to estimate the number of people who are legally married, living together, and sometimes sleeping in the same bed, but who are emotionally, psychologically divorced. The husband and the wife may even engage in similar activities and go places together, but there is little warmth, concern, communication, intimacy, love, or interest in one's mate. Now, that can be pretty cold, but with withdrawing emotions from each other, the partner avoid the pain and social stigma of divorce. They're just there, but there is coldness and nothing there. Conflicts remain, but there are few battles, and the marriage persists as an uneasy trace that may extend from a lifetime. Then I want to talk about desertion. When the marital and family pressures get too intense, some people simply leave. They just can't take it. They walk out, and a lot of times when a person gets sick or and the person who, the other partner, they do not stand by that husband or wife. They just walk out and just leave. And it's difficult to compile statistics on the incidence of desertion. But there is evidence that thousands of mates desert their families each year and leave hurt, feeling confused, uncertainty, financial pressures, and one parent family behind. The courts can decree that a deserting spouse must return to meet family financial obligation, but these people are difficult to find, and many ignore the court orders. Since most deserters are from lower-class families, the deserted mate often cannot afford the cost of bringing legal action against the spouse who has left them. So we have a lot of single parents' homes because spouse, not just the husband leaves, sometimes the wife will leave the spouse. And they're there to try to raise the children alone as well. So the financial burden can be either on the wife or the husband, whichever one is left to continually raise the family. Now, separation or divorce might be viewed as the legal termination of one once promising, hope-filled, and satisfying relationships that has been coming apart socially and emotionally. Even though it is common, divorce is never a happy solution to marital problems. It is used too often and too quickly as a way to escape marital difficulties. Even Christian couples sometimes ignore the biblical guideline for dissolving a marriage. Nevertheless, there are times when divorce may seem to be the most feasible alternate to a problem-plagued marriage. And when that happens, that doesn't only affect the husband and the wife, that affects the children as well. It's a situation that can tear a family apart emotionally. It can have big effect on the children because sometimes they feel like they're to blame. They'll blame themselves for why it happened, and they had nothing to do with it. So when there are marital problems, the only way is to consult God and then seek His direction and get some kind of Christian, biblical background, because if you pay attention to your vows, it said what God has joined together. So if God has truly joined you together, then He's the one that you need to go to for counseling. And you can get that through a Christian counselor, get that through praying to God and asking God to give you back the hope and the stay. And most of the time, the things are just small things. You have to know how to say I'm sorry. Even if you feel like the other person is wrong, go to each other and try to ask each other, what's the problem? Try to get to each other and make sure that you can make up, because it did say don't let the sun go down on your wrath. That means don't go to bed or don't do things and go to bed at night, because if you go to bed at night with all of that anger in you, if you die before you wake up in the morning, you don't know where you're going to lift your eyes up. So the best thing to do when you have a marital problems, financial or whatever, remember, get the scriptures that God give you. Financial, go to Philippians 4:19 and say, my God shall supply all my needs. Go to some kind of financial people to try to get your finances in order, because finances can cause problems. And what you want to do is to make sure that you consult God, whether it's finances, whether it's sexual, whatever the situation might be, your number one priority is to consult God and let Him show you what direction to go, and let Him be the one who, when you set it up on God, you need to keep it on God. You need to let Him be the number one priority over whatever you do. Back to you, Dr. McCoy.
Thank you very much for that insight and for giving us what we could use, what we remind us of some things about the effects of marital problems. And yet there are many marital problems all around the world. People don't know how to come together, how to live together. So therefore, it is important that we discuss things like this on the Crossroad broadcast. And we would just like to bring to remembrance about two people that we want to call your attention, whose name was Kurt and Diane. That's been 20 years that passed since Kurt and Diane, since they had exchanged vows. They were, married for some time, and also at times both of them had wondered whether their marriage relationship wasn't going to survive. You know, maybe somebody out there that are married, and you are thinking whether or not, how long is this marriage going to survive because of the things that may be happening in your marriage, whether it's the male or the female. But when we go back to Genesis, as Dr. Castor have already man and woman together. He is the one that put man and the woman together so that they could spend the rest of their lives together. I'm not saying this always happens, because it does not. And even the Bible gives a special reason for divorces. But what we want to do is when a man and a woman is in a relationship, we want to do everything that we can in order to cause this relationship to work. Because we understand that there are two different personalities, different characters, different mindset that the two individuals have. Some people, haven't been brought up in certain environments. They've been brought up in certain environments. Some, it's quite different when the man and the woman get together. And there are some reasons why sometimes it's not that they're so in love with one another. It could be because of something that happened that they decided to get married. But I'm telling you today that even as we speak about marital problems, we need to consider what we are doing before we say, I do. Because even with a man and woman loving each other, it's going to have to take that everlasting love in order to stay together. Oh, I know there are some abusive situations. I do know that there are conditions where it needs a person's life. And I do know that there's a lot of battering. And I do know that there's a lot of violence. But yet, when we can have two couples, for whatever reason, they're together, they're having difficulty, but yet they can come together, they can agree together. So we see Kurt and we see Diane, they having problems in their relationship. But they were still together, they still lived together, and sometimes it was like it was uneasy. It was like an uneasy truce that they were in their community, where they both almost, where they were, both of them were born. And so we see that they had been in this situation, and Diane's parents were Christians who went to church regularly and lived as respectfully member of her community. But Kurt, he came from a home where religion was ignored, and the family came from a family of four boys, and that family seemed like they was always getting in trouble with the neighbors, police had to be called, and things like that. So you see where I'm going at. Sometimes it's the environment, sometimes what people have been brought up in, sometimes when the parents themselves don't know how to come into agreement while they bring up children. And then the children, when they get an adult, you know, they just want to leave home and they want to find somebody to make it better. But at the same time, if they haven't learned how to be a better person and how to handle some stress, how to handle marital problems and things of that sort, then sometimes it gets very, very difficult. But at the age of 18, Kurt married his pregnant girlfriend, but the marriage didn't last. There was conflict, and it ended in divorce. And this is before he had married Diane. So therefore, we see that sometimes people get married because of the fact that the woman is pregnant. You know, they went out of the bounds of a relationship as God has established it, and the girl got married, and rather for the child not have a name, or rather for her to be alone, sometimes that happens, and the two people get together. But one of the things that you need to think about, not only with someone being not married, but you need to think about what's going to happen in the future, and before you make a decision, number one, in order to have any type of relationship with any man before marriage. So therefore, as you see, his marriage didn't last. He did it because of the fact that there was a child involved. Now, if you look at it realistically, there are many, many people out there today that they married because of the fact that they had a child out of wedlock, and that rather than, as I said before, rather than have that girl without a husband, they'll go ahead and marry. But if you don't love that person, that brings up a problem. Sometimes people get in relationships and they have a sexual experience, but they don't love each other. And this is something that I'm saying to you, our audience today, that you need to consider, that don't do these things because of the fact that it may not last when you get married. And I think it has to be not sometimes people, girls, young ladies, women, they marry, and it also applies to men as well. Sometimes they marry men, and they may be really in love with them, but the man is not in love with them, or vice versa. So therefore, you need to, the Bible said, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he said that he will direct our path. So one of the things that we want to see out of this today is that God direct our path, and that we don't have to settle for anything. But if we give it to God, because he said to make our request known before him, and if we live the life that God will have us to live, then some of these things that I'm talking about today, some of the things that Dr. Castor was talking about, it can be avoided. Yes, mistakes are made, but yet those things, some of those things can be rectified. Yes, there may be young women, middle-aged women, older women that was in that situation, but you know what? Some of the marriages turned out okay. God came in their lives, and their marriage, it survived. But when we began to look at the situation with Kurt and with his partner Diane, we see that as when he had married the other person, the divorce, they met, and they began to attend church together with her. Both of them began to attend church. Now, another thing you have to watch out is that sometimes people are lonely, and they marry each other for because they want some companionship. They marry them because of the fact that they're attracted to them, and they think this thing going, well, you know, I'll grow to love him and he'll grow to love me, or vice versa. But, and again, you have to consider the word of God. You have to consider the person. We have talked about, you know, doing this broadcast or other broadcasts that we have. We talk about things that should be considered before a person say, I do. Because many times, a lot of things that people go through, they don't have to go through these things. Now, when we're talking about, or we were talking about the premarital counseling, we found that there are many things that a woman and a man need to consider before they get married. And if we consider these things, that things like what Diane and what Kurt went through, a lot of this will not be a problem, and it will not help. It will help. So when we began to consider some things about premarital counseling, then there are some things that if you get a Christian counselor, or you get counseled by your pastor, or whoever, somebody reputable, should be spiritual, should have wisdom, should have knowledge, should have understanding, and being able to hear from God, then they would lead you in the pathway of righteousness. So the simple fact is, if you are considering marrying a person that you just met 2 months ago, it is not definitely a good idea. Even if you met him 6 months ago, I just don't believe it's a great idea to marry someone that you just time spending that time with them, but you really, really don't know that individual. You don't know who that person is, because it's just like a facade. It's just like sometimes people have a mask on. They pretend to be something around certain people, especially the people they're attracted to. But when the mask comes off, it's horrible. So therefore, you need to know who you're married, so you don't have to go through the things that Diane and Kurt have gone through. Now, one of the things that we talked about is before you get married, you need to find out. There are so many things that you need to find. You need to find out whether or not who the person is. There's nothing wrong with you running a background check on them. It's nothing wrong with you finding out their medical, that's woman and female, you know, whether or not they have been in community disease. Sometimes people are so quick to do certain things and have a sexual experience that they don't know what tracing that person have HIV or some kind of community disease. You don't know they've been in jail, in prison. You don't know that. And so, therefore, you are they a molester? Are you they're a child abuser? Are they a person that is violent? And you don't know. You need to know whether the person worked or not. And a whole bunch of things that we could sit here and talk about today, but we just don't have time to do that. But I do know that when we talk about these people, these two people, that they definitely needed some instruction. They needed some help because they seem to be on the road. When we look at it without direction, and if you're going in the direction in the wrong way, you can easily have an accident. You can easily destroy your life and somebody else's life as well. So when we see Diane and Kurt, you know, he began to go to church with her. Then he decided that there was evangelist there, and they decided that he's going to give his life to Christ. He's going to get that he was going to get saved. He's going to attend church, and they did. They attend church. They've been going to church, but they, you know, it is good. It, you know, let us know that he at least went to church on Sunday, went to church together on Sunday. But things were missing in their marriage. You know, it's not that you're going to church every Sunday. That's great. That's good. But the Word of God has to be in your heart, in your soul, in your mind, and you have to be obedient to that which God teaches through the man or the woman of God. If we don't be hearers and doers of God's word, then our marriage can end in destruction. So we see that they were married. We see that they attended church together, but they had little interest. There was little interest in spiritual things apart from Sunday, you know, and something wrong with that. You know, you got to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and spirit. And how can two walk together except they are in agreement? So early in their marriage, Diane did spend some time walking with seeing her pastor and talking to her pastor about how abusive Kurt was, because he became abusive. You know, that could be even in his background. His dad could have been abusive. His mother could have been abusive. But he had abusive behavior towards her. She didn't see that at the beginning, because most likely when you like somebody or love somebody, they're not going to try to show you that. If they're trying to attract you, they're not going to show you. They don't tell you, I'm an abuser, I'm a wife beater, I'm a man beater. They're not going to tell you this. But these are some of the things that we have to encounter, that we have to look at in marriage counseling, to see what is going on here and to see what type of wife I'm getting, what type of man that I'm getting. I know that that most people don't show you their all in all and who they are on the inside. And sometimes you don't see it until a year after. You don't see it until maybe even less than that. But at the same time, you want to be able to know who you're married and whether this man really, really loves you, and whether this woman really loves you? Does she want you for just for the what you can buy for her? Is that the reason that you want her, or you want her because she's beautiful? You know, I've seen a lot of beautiful people, but they have some ugly, ugly attitudes. So therefore, that's not a reason to marry anybody, or to vice versa with a husband as well. So here we look at Diane, and we look at Kurt. We see that he had began to drink, and for whatever reason, he became like a drunkard. And then he had, you know, if you notice people that drink sometimes, it brings out the worst in them. We're going to have to really kind of talk about this a little bit, but we don't have a lot of time to talk about today. But I'm telling you that Kurt began to drink. He began to, those people that drink sometimes they get very mean. And but Kurt began to get into, he got so angry that it turned into rage. And sometimes he got mad and anger over minor things and minor issues. And then if he got into rage and he was mad about different things, then you know what he did next? He began to abuse his wife. He was an abuser because of the fact that it was what inside of him and the alcohol that he was taking. So therefore, we need to know whether or not, you need to know whether you're drunk, you're marrying an alcoholic, a person on drugs. You know, these things that don't let anybody talk you into getting married unless you need to know from God, is this the right person? If you have to wait 10 years before you marry, you need to marry the right individual. Okay, Diane often considered leaving Kurt, but she had no place to go. And most likely she probably didn't have an education, you know, because they did get married early. So, and she wasn't making the money that he was making. She couldn't provide. So they had two young children, and so somebody had to take care of them. She couldn't take care of them, so she had to stay in that abusive relationship. So the pastor had tried counseling Kurt, but, you know, he denies that a problem exists. Sometimes when a person has a problem, sometimes they deny the situation that I'm in a that I'm abusive, I'm angry. And sometimes people, when they do that, sometimes they don't even remember what they do. They don't remember what they say. They can say terrible things to people, and they don't remember that they said these things to them. So what I'm saying to you today is that remember, you want an everlasting marriage. Sometimes, you know, it's not that woman's fault, not that man. It could be one of them. But yet, if you go before God, ask God to give you that man in your life, that woman in your life that's going to be pleasing unto him, you know, a man that loves God more than he loves you, a woman that loves God more than he loves you. So what I'm saying to you, it is important that we do the right thing so that we can achieve a excellent marriage. You guys are listening today to the Effects of Marital Problems. Dr. Cassidy came and she talked to you about the effects of marital problems. And we was able to talk a little bit about some things about Kurt and Diane and giving you some insight into what has happened. But we want to pray with you right now. Those are in our radio audience. Those may be going through different things in their lives. Don't give up. Don't give up. Know that God has a blessing for you, knowing that there is hope in Christ Jesus, knowing that he can help you out of some of the situation that you may be in. So therefore, just hold on and just believe God. And the things that we are saying today is going to help you. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you and praise you. We magnify your name. We thank you to God for the great, for the mighty things that you have done, great and mighty things that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you to God that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And God, that word have we hid in our heart, that we will not sin against thee. Lord, we ask thee, God, to touch those young people out there today that are going through marital problems. God, touch the middle-aged man and woman that are going through marital problems. God, that lost their love for one another. God, those, God, in the name of Jesus, God, that can't get along together. Lord, those that are considering divorce, Lord God. Oh, God, those that can't stand in the same house, Lord God. I ask thee, Lord God, to intervene. I ask thee, God, if they're not saved, to save them. God, you say that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. You say, God, that we shall be saved. So, Lord, I pray, God, even now that there'll be a change in the household for the man and for the woman, Father God. And if there have been a children involved like hurt, and that end, Lord, I pray, God, that there be peace in that home, God, that you will come in, God, and they will allow you to come in, God, God, to come in to make the difference, Lord, in that marriage. Father, we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, your word said we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God is raising from the dead. You said that we shall be saved. And Father, today we believe that you're saved to the uttermost. And Father, we just thank you and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You have been listening today to the Crossroads broadcast with Dr. Mary Smith McCoy and Dr. Gloria Taster. Please tune in with us on next Monday at the same time for another fire discussion on marriage. May God bless and keep you. Is our